I heard the recording requested,
Yes.
it's not quite.
We'll see. All right, everybody ready?
Yes.
Okay. The time is upon us. This is the board meeting for Tuesday, August 11th of these, almost said the Oakland, the Ora Loma Sanitary District Board. I will call this meeting to order and ask for a roll call, please.
Present.
Here. Present.
Present.
And President Young.
Present. If you will all stand and join Director Lee's loud voice in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
They will stop. Little stop.
That was my quiet voice.
That was your quiet voice. Thank you. I would like to take this opportunity to amend the agenda briefly. I want to remove item 7.2 for some minor adjustments. So I would like to pull item 7.2.
So moved on that on
I don't
that
think I need
request.
A motion, but
yes.
Is there any objection to moving that? No objection. Thank you very much. Then we will move on to the general public. David, it's nice to see you. Thanks for stopping by.
Nice meeting.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Going.
He's leaving.
I'm going
to. He wanted to make sure I am. All right. I'm going to move to the consent calendar, which consists of minutes of the board meeting for July 28, committee meeting minutes for F&I, and approval of the attached financial statements for June. I would entertain a motion to approve.
I'll make the motion.
Thank you.
A second.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed say no. A motion carries. Five ayes. Thank you very much. And we'll move right to a presentation by PFMAM. Thank you. Nice to have you here. Nice
Good
to see
evening.
You again.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
You're very welcome.
Happy to share the quarterly investment report for the quarter ended June 30th. I'm going to start on page 48 of your packet with some of the current market themes. And I'm going to focus on the market themes which, you know, really dominated the second calendar quarter of the year. And I'm going to do my best to bring us current. So a couple of things. I think what really drove the market over the quarter was the fact that we had a lot of AI and technology spending, which was a very important contributor to GDP. And it's one of the things that really allowed the economy and the market to remain resilient. I will talk about the expectation for interest rates, which shifted a fair bit during the quarter, had a very positive impact on investment earnings for the portfolio. We saw interest rates rise in general. And quite frankly, at the end of the quarter, we're probably at their highest range in quite some time. And so we had some really attractive interest rates and investment opportunities during the quarter. I'll talk about the shift in Fed policy with the new chair, how that impacted essentially what the market expected in terms of the rate direction in the future, and talk about what we did in the portfolio to make sure that you are in really good standing. And so a couple of things to highlight. One, we saw that the Fed rate policy during the quarter was left unchanged in a range of 3.5 to 3.75. Fed Chair Warsh essentially talked a lot about being less transparent with the market in terms of like what their direction was going to be. But they did emphasize a reliance on the actual data. What's interesting is that there was a lot of expectation that when we saw the new Fed chair that perhaps he'd be a little more aggressive in terms of lowering interest rates. That has not been the case. Actually, at the last Fed meeting, the vote actually saw three participants vote to actually hike rates. And so we saw the outlook for interest rates rise during the second calendar quarter of the year. That was also supported by the general economic direction. So I'll talk a little bit about that as we move through the slide deck. So let's talk about inflation and inflationary pressure because I think that was a big deal. During the quarter, inflation, I'm sorry, I am on page 49 of the packet. During the quarter, inflation did edge higher. There was some concern about, energy prices with the issues in the Middle East, the Strait of Hormuz, that generally causing prices to edge up. However, there was a sense that we would not actually see that increased price spill over into core goods and services, meaning that although we saw a lot of pressure on energy, commodities, and other things, I think the Fed and the market expected that to come down. And the best example of that is on the chart in the bottom right-hand corner, which is the inflation expectation over the year, which is shown in blue, and the inflation expectation over the next 5 years. And you could see that the year did show some spike. But over the 5 year period, it's expected to converge and come back down. And so that supports the notion that the market did not expect the energy shocks to really push through to, again, core goods and services. And the Fed actually also maintained that. Another thing on the market or on the mind of the market was the labor market itself on the next page, page 50 of the packet. Some unemployment rate statistics during the quarter. The unemployment rate held steady. We also saw real wage growth, spending and income was modest, not necessarily keeping pace with inflation. We now know since the end of the quarter that the labor market is under some constraint, which actually helped support lower interest rates, ironically. But we saw the most recent jobs report, which came out this Friday, actually showed the unemployment rate tick down to 4.1%, which was lower than where we ended the quarter. But one thing I will point out about the lower unemployment rate, that's a product of the labor force participation rate declining. So we saw more folks leave the labor market, either voluntarily or through retirements and other things. We also saw some job losses, which is having an impact on the outlook for rates in general. The other thing I want to talk about is. And is it okay with you all if I summarize some of the pages of the packet? For example, I'd like to skip over 51, which talks about technology investment, and go right to 52, which I think does a great job of just highlighting across the board what all the factors are with regard to the economy. And so, a couple things. Things that are negatively going to impact the economy, things that are neutral, and things that are positives. So negative impact, we still have the geopolitical uncertainty that continues to get better, then get worse, then get better. So there's a lot of uncertainty in that with regard to where we are. Savings rates are near record lows. There's still a lot of pressure on the consumer. Also, some concern about the financing. Consumer debt continues to inch forward, and programs like Affirm and the quarterly pay systems are also having some pressure on consumers. The consumer has been the cornerstone of the economy, really holding things up. Neutral outlook, again, Fed policy uncertainty. I talked about the fact that at the last Fed meeting, we saw three governors point to a rate hike, but the unemployment data suggests that perhaps we need to lower rates. And so there's a lot of uncertainty about which direction the Fed will actually go. But we've actually seen rates be higher on average. So we are being able to take advantage of higher yielding investments. Inflation continues to be modest despite the higher gas and oil prices. On the positive side, the unemployment rate has been fairly steady. However, again, our most recent unemployment report does show some concerns. So let's talk about interest rates. And I'm going to move to page 56 of the packet, because this does a great job of showing how much interest rates have shifted over the last few quarters and over the last year. I think it's important to note that, you know, despite the fact that there was some expectation, again, that the Fed would be looking to lower rates, we've actually seen the market environment really support higher interest rates overall. There was a point where we were expecting, you know, no cuts this year, maybe a rate hike by the end of the year, maybe another rate hike at the beginning of next year. And so the 2 year has increased along with those market changing expectations. On the next slide, you can see the comparison of the yield curve quarter over quarter. And so the dotted blue line here is March 31st, 2026. And then you can see just a quarter later how close the yield curve is, especially on the shorter end of the yield curve to the 1 year range and the high end of that range. The district's portfolio is in good shape because you have a lot of cash in the California Asset Management Program. And so you've been able to take advantage of the rate increases with that liquidity portfolio. You've also taken advantage of some ladder term investments. And so as the investments between 3 months and 2 years on the chart, you can see where it's steepest in the solid blue line, you've been able to ladder out in that area of the curve as well. And then of course we have a managed portfolio that we're managing on behalf of the district, and we've been able to take advantage of some really attractive yields. And so really good interest rate environment. In terms of where we go next, it really depends on where Fed policy ultimately lands. But the way the district's portfolio is structured, you're hedged against any eventuality. I'll talk briefly about spreads on the next slide. This chart is one of my favorites, just gives you an idea of where the value is in the different sectors that are generally allowed for California public agencies. And the blue represents the range, again, over the year so far. And then the yellow dots is where we were at the end of the quarter. And so for us, you know, we're really trying to look for value across the board. When we looked at some of our activity in the portfolio, we've been able to pick up some really attractive interest rates. I'd say spreads are based on fundamentals, where the market anticipates risk. And we have seen really strong fundamentals in the corporate sector and consistent investor demand. Credit spreads have been less compelling, but again, for us, we've been really selective in what we're buying. Over the quarter, we purchased about $605,000 in securities. Some of the names we purchased include Amazon, Nvidia, Salesforce, and ServiceNow. And again, just taking advantage of some of those attractive spreads in the corporate market relative to treasury securities. On a total return basis, the next two slides, they show again, excess returns. The returns over and above treasuries have been positive. So you are being compensated for utilizing investments outside of United States treasuries. Again, everything we purchase for the district is consistent and in compliance with your investment policy. But when we purchase investments, we want to make sure that we're getting compensated for taking any additional risk outside of treasury sector. And so we pay attention to these returns. We also show not only excess returns, but total returns on the next slide. And total returns across the board have been positive for these sectors. With that said, I will move all the way to slide 67 of your packet, which shows the district's portfolio. And just a couple of things to highlight here. I already talked about the structure of the district's portfolio. You can see in the donut chart to the right where your funds are allocated. Again, a healthy amount of funds in the camp pool, which is a diversified cash reserve portfolio, provides great liquidity for the district. As interest rates had moved higher over the past quarter, the camp rate has also increased bit by bit. We also have in the portfolio about 17 million in the term investments, which are laddered securities or laddered shares of the Camp Pool out to a year. And then we also have some investment securities that we manage on an individual basis. To take a look at that part of the portfolio, I'm going to move to slide 70. And that highlights the securities part of the portfolio. So the amount that's not in the Camp Cash Reserve portfolio or in term. These are individual investments that we purchase on behalf of the district. And that's about 9.4 million. You can see that those are diversified in treasury, corporate, and other securities. That's where those assets that I mentioned we purchased this quarter were. We have a really good performance in this portfolio. The yield at cost is about 387. That's what you're earning in that portfolio. And as I mentioned, we were able to take advantage of some higher yielding investments. Your average duration is about 1.47 years, so about 1.5 years. And the diversification on the next slide, you'll be able to see is fairly diversified, not only amongst the sectors, but amongst issuers within the sector. In terms of return, I'm going to go to page 75 of your packet. Excuse me. We've been able to return fairly in line with the benchmark, and the district's benchmark is the 0 to 3 year Treasury Index. We did have a change in market value of negative 30,000. That just reflects the fact that interest rates rose over the quarter. When interest rates rise, the market value of your securities in your portfolio just naturally decline. But there's plenty of income in the portfolio. If you actually look at those quarter over quarter, you can see that the income level for the portfolio has been tracking upward. And so again, those higher yielding securities that we've been buying have been paying off. And so we had enough income to offset the market value changes and a positive absolute return for the portfolio of about 53 basis points for the quarter and good trailing performance as well. I'll pause there for questions. I feel like I went over a lot in my time here, but I want to make sure I address any questions the board may have.
Thank you very much. Questions from the board? Comments? Anybody? Fred?
Yes, hi. Thank you for the presentation. A question, you mentioned NVIDIA purchase and some other stocks. Could you explain that?
Yeah, so the portfolio, we don't purchase equity securities in the portfolio for the district. All of the securities that we purchased are debt obligations of the companies. And so, for example, I'm going to highlight an NVIDIA purchase we made early in the quarter on June 15th. We purchased about 95,000 of a corporate bond from NVIDIA with a coupon of 4.35%. That's a fixed income debt obligation. It's going to mature on June 15th. And it has a coupon payment, which will pay the district interest again at that 4.35 rate every 6 months until maturity. So it's not an equity. It's not a piece of ownership. It's a fixed debt obligation that's secured with their cash flows. We do have a very well-resourced credit team. We have about, I want to say, 12 or 13 credit analysts, and their only job is to analyze credit, evaluate cash flows, the security of these investments. And so we're very confident and comfortable with the assets that we're purchasing on your behalf. But it's not open stock. It's not anything that's, at risk in that way. Like we're very confident with the their ability to repay the debt in the time frame.
Okay. And, the district's going to be here forever. 100 years, 200 years, however long we're going to be here. So a lot of this money will be here for a long time. And is the district able to invest in other things? Like, for example, just the S&P 500. If you look at the history of it, it just goes up. I mean, it goes down sometimes, it just goes up. Is the district allowed to invest in products like S&P 500?
Yeah, that's a great question. And so the district is a California local agency, and California has a government code which clearly defines the limits of the investment authority for these types of funds. And so these types of funds are district. There's a term for it, but they're not held in trust. They're not held in an indenture. They're just the district's like operational cash assets. And the California government code essentially limits your investment authority for those funds to short duration, high quality fixed income securities. And so you're not allowed to do equity investments or, even exchange traded funds and those types of investments with these dollars.
Okay, government code restricts.
Yes.
Thank you.
Anything else? Anybody else?
Thank you.
Director Duncan.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
You can hear me, huh?
Yes.
Thank you for your presentation. Every time I learn a little bit more. And I know we're saying that there's not, I guess, a lot of change in the employment number. And your colleague said that the number is kind of low because a lot of people are deciding not to be even in the market.
Mm-hmm.
And so my question is, where is this all this AI energy impacting jobs? Do you know?
Oh, that's a great question. I don't have the exact statistics at the top of my on the top of my head, but I will say there has been a lot of discussion about, AI being a great displacer of employees in certain workforces, either corporations not hiring as they evaluate whether AI can take over certain functions, and or in their planning to reduce their workforce to incorporate AI. We've seen some of those investments backtrack a little bit as, perhaps AI hasn't met the moment or the expectation on what it'd be able to accomplish. But I do think a lot of employers are looking at ways to be more efficient and hoping AI will help support that. And so I do think that's having an impact on future planning, if not an immediate impact in terms of layoffs in certain areas. I will say for the Bay Area, it's been a bit of a boom as folks are hiring more out here for AI, but certainly not in other places.
No.
If you think of something else, just give me a high sign and I'll call on you. It's all right. Dr. Lee, anything?
Well, thank you for the presentation. It's always wonderful to see you here. And, the expertise of your organization is phenomenal. Director Duncan and I sit on the Finance Committee, and Justin did a phenomenal presentation. I just want to share that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for the presentation. It's pretty clear to me that we have the best in charge of our money. So I'm happy that you're there. I do have a simple question.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully it's simple. You probably know a heck of a lot more about this than I ever will in my lifetime. When we talk about interest-free government bonds, is that the same as U.S. Treasuries?
So when we talk about government bonds, we tend to be referring to U.S. treasuries. Interest-free, it depends on the structure. There are some structures where you may not be earning a coupon, or it may not pay a rate of return. We certainly saw that back during the pandemic. But the majority of the bonds we buy for the district are paying interest earning.
Yeah, I think I was probably referring to my own account.
Oh.
It just dawned on me that
yes.
I want interest free.
Yeah.
We don't want that for the district.
Yeah. Okay.
We want to make money for the district. But in general, is that referred to as U.S. Treasuries?
Yeah, I think when you have a government fund, and I'm trying to marry the interest free term, trying to match that to the product I'm thinking about, and I'm coming up blank. But when folks tend to refer to government, they do tend to be referring to government obligations, which
I
associated with U.S. Treasury obligations.
I added the words interest free.
Okay.
I'm sorry
okay.
for doing that. I just want to be sure that government bonds
yes.
are in the classification
yes,
of U.S. secure or U.S. Treasury.
That's correct.
Did you think of your
friend? Yes, I did. And we had, a decent discussion about this. I'm all about leveraging my money.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, the district. And I know we're in good shape. And I just wonder, and you know, through your experience, how do other agencies use their wealth or their savings? I mean, how do they leverage it, really?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, with the restrictions, our ability to manage assets in this way, you know, we are limited by government code. Each agency is different. You know, on the investment side, we're always focused on safety, liquidity, and then the income return we can get on a given portfolio. The staff of the district has been really great about, you know, managing liquidity, as well as looking for opportunities to maximize the return on the portfolio. And so I wouldn't say, you know, if we looked at the portfolio assets, that the district has. I think we're making good use of the California Government Code authority for the amount of assets that we have in this portion of the portfolio. And, you know, I don't think we're doing anything that's more conservative necessarily than other agencies who have similar profiles. It's just a matter of making sure that the liquidity is there first to meet your cash flow needs before turning to return. But I think the part of our structure that's focused on return is very well utilized.
Okay, I guess, and we had a little discussion around, you know, looking at the policy, our policy. Mm-hmm. I'm all for savings.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when we have these big projects that's looming on us, I think our rates will make us okay. I'm just wondering, how as a board do we look at, I call it our investments and our savings, and is there a point where we decide, you know, to use some of it? Director Simon said we'll be here forever, but yeah. You know, how do you use the money that mm-hmm. and maybe I just need to do a little bit more homework on my own to find out, you know, what's possible, because I'm only one vote.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe, just like with my own personal savings, mm-hmm. I use the interest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't. Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking, how do we look at that long term for some of our indebtedness? Not that we have a lot,
mm-hmm.
but we have some really big projects that's coming down the pipe, and I think our rates will make us be okay. We'll balance out some mm-hmm. of that indebtedness, but I'm always looking at, you know, I'm going to really show where I come from, looking at why do you put the money under the mattress if you're not going to use it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're just sleeping on profit money. So that's where my thought mm-hmm. process is. We as a board, are we, you know, pulling all the levers that we have
mm-hmm.
to manage this district?
Yeah.
So, and I know we're public entity, and you know, sometimes, you know,
yeah.
we're in jail, but mm-hmm. Just wondered.
Yeah, I mean, I think from our point of view with the portfolio, if I look at the three buckets of money you have, there's a lot of in camp, there's some in term, and then you have the longer term portfolio. And you know, again, with our priorities in order, safety, liquidity. I think that liquidity is probably our biggest constraint right now. You know, making sure that you have enough liquidity in the portfolio to, you know, meet your cash flow obligations. And so if, you know, the liquidity is needed And what I hear, and Justin has been more, involved with the team and in these discussions. But if I hear that, you have these cash flow needs that are coming up, that supports the liquidity structure that you currently have in place. If you had less demand for your cash flow needs, then perhaps you could look at increasing the average maturity or duration of your portfolio to ladder out a little bit longer to lock in, slightly higher earnings. But that only makes sense if you really don't need that liquidity. And so it's a balancing act, which is why when I look at your structure on its face, I say, for liquidity, you're in really good position with, maximizing earnings in your liquidity portfolio. CAMP is a very attractive interest rate. Term is a great product for that one and under area. And as I mentioned, with this portfolio, with the longer term assets, we're really happy with the return and with the assets that we're using in that part of the portfolio.
Justin said the same thing.
Oh, great. I try to do Justin justice. He does a great job.
No, really, that we're in good, we're in a good place. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary Duncan.
Actually, I just thought of some questions that I didn't ask at the Finance Committee, right? And th this the answer just has to be provided today. But from the pandemic going on forth, right, we had definitely supply chain challenges. And obviously the uncertainty from the was it the tariffs last year and now the Strait of Hormuz, what impact is that going to be having in terms of the whole investment environment? Because supply chain is still a problem. I know that we have plans on trying to change that dynamic, but I still see that as a huge issue.
Well, it's interesting because I think, I always say prices are sticky on the downside. Folks aren't jumping up to, reverse, the price increases we got during, progressively worse inflationary environment. Quite frankly, raising interest rates in some way was a control for that inflationary environment. It was met as a way to sort of slow things down, slow down, borrowing, spending, put some brakes on the economy. And then the concern was, are we slowing the economy down too much? And the Fed has been juggling those two things, that sense of we need to slow price increase down, but we're also entering into a bit of a stagflation environment. I think the unemployment report that just came out this Friday is exacerbating some of those concerns. And so, where does the Fed go from here? I would argue, and this is a firm view and not necessarily, a view shared by all, but I think we're at a little bit of risk. I think there's a bubble that's inherent here. How have folks been, making it the last couple of years? Consumer spending has kept pace. You've heard the consumer is resilient, the consumer is resilient, but the consumer is holding on using some mechanism. And we know it's not wage growth. We know it's not the jobs market. And so that points to borrowing. And so I think the consumer is going to be under pressure at some point. We are going to see some impact from that. It's just a question of when and what that's going to look like. And I think that's where you see, the Fed having some diverging point of views, economists having diverging point of views. We had a discussion internally because the U.S. bank economist, U.S. Bank is our parent, has a differing view than our portfolio management team. And that's just where we are right now with the economy. And so I think the Fed has a hard job ahead of them because of all the factors at play.
Thank you.
Simon.
Yes, as Director Duncan mentioned, I too agree trying to have our money work for us and looking long term and trying to understand the liquidity situation. Are you saying we need liquidity to pay for construction projects that are out? And or liquidity if a disaster happens and the district burns down, half the district burns down. What type of liquidity are we preparing for?
So I'll let staff speak to your cash flow needs, but from our perspective, we think of liquidity in terms of access to the cash. And so, you know, CAMP provides great operational liquidity and great transactional liquidity. It's providing a fairly attractive rate, but with, you know, same day access to the funds. You know, a year or so ago, I think the interest rate environment has flipped a bit. But, you know, short-term money was king. You know, you're getting the highest return by having your money as liquid as possible. That has shifted. And as that has shifted, you know, the district has done a great job moving assets out a little bit longer with term, locking in some investments. And again, we still have the longer term portfolio. So that's how we like to think about it. If, as I mentioned, there's some capacity to reduce the operational liquidity, then that's an opportunity to move some assets out. But we want to be sure that we do that in consultation with staff to make sure that we're not adding any undue pressure on the portfolio or on the cash flow.
Does staff have any information on that liquidity? How much do we need? Or are we planning for?
So we typically reserve enough money to pay salaries, which is the biggest cost, consistent cost, every month, every 2 weeks when we make payroll. And depending on how much productivity we get on the construction projects, that could be a a large outlay for that month as well. So that depends on how many projects are going on. Currently, we have our primary clarifier project going on, and then also our sewer line replacement projects, which is, I believe there's two active right now. So that could be anywhere from a couple hundred thousand a month to a couple million.
Okay, so it's like month to month operational.
Correct.
Does if disaster were to happen in the district, were to have major disaster happen, and so, we lose half the district, what would we do?
Pray. Go home.
That's a good question.
We have access to these funds.
Yes, we do. We do. We absolutely have access to all the funds, and if we need it, we'll get access to it.
That's where the CAMP comes in.
Now, the CAMP is same one day liquidity.
Same day.
Same day.
Same day by noon.
And then the long term investments, we can
T1, T2, trade day.
Like, so we have access to all our money if we need it.
Thank you.
Is that just briefly based on his question? In CAMP, we're using CAMP now. Is that when we used to use LAIF? Or are we still in some part in LAIF?
Yeah, so we have a portion of our investments in LAIF, and then we also have a larger portion in CAMP.
And where are our reserves? Reserves, of course, are meant for a 6 month. We always have a 6 month forward.
That's embedded
in reserve.
That's embedded in our entire portfolio.
Right,
it just means that we need, as a district, have at least that amount dedicated, as I cannot spend that.
Of course.
Or not. I cannot drop below that without notifying the board.
I always watch the reserves. Director Duncan.
That was my question.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to know, how does the reserve money play into that? And
all being invested in the, sounds like in the long term, but available on a 1 day liquidity, right?
And so the, how many, what is that?
6 months.
No, I was thinking about the amount of our reserve. So that's what we're investing.
It's about 9 million,
yeah.
10 million, something like that.
That our biggest outlay of money is for salaries.
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course.
Just again, you know, we have, that's like, it's not a different bucket, it's one of those three buckets. Mm-hmm. And I always was thinking that. Yeah.
It's all in one bank account.
Water. Thank you.
Thank you, Monique. Did you have other comments when you stopped for a minute to let us ask questions?
I was going to stop on the performance and just say we're really happy to be working with the district and with staff. And thank you for your complimentary comments about Justin. So I'll pass those on.
Sounds like we made the right choice. So
thank you.
Thank you very much for your report. Any other additional comments, staff comments? Thank you very much for coming out.
Thank you.
We're glad the weather cooperated.
I know. Nice. Thank you.
Where are you coming from? Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm still happy the weather cooperated.
I'm like, really? Okay. Okay. You and Alex live in the same world.
Not local.
Bye-bye.
Up local. Bye. That's correct.
Thank you.
All right. Let me go back to my agenda. All right. Funny. That's item six. We'll move down to item seven, new business. Item 7 point, excuse me. Item 7.1 is a resolution fixing time and place for hearing on amended ordinance number 34, regulating collection, removal, and disposal of solid waste and other discarded materials. This is fairly routine. We do this every year. This is setting the solid waste rates on August 18 at 5 p.m., which is a public hearing. So it's a resolution to set a public hearing. You know, any comments, any questions? If not, then I would entertain a motion to approve and adopt the resolution.
Director Lee, so moved.
Wait a second, please. Someone?
Director Duncan.
Thank you, Director Duncan. I'll need a roll call, please.
Director Simon?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Secretary Duncan?
Aye.
Vice President Lee?
Aye.
President Young?
And an aye. Thank you very much. We have pulled item 7.2, so we'll move to item 7.3. Authorization for GM to execute agreement with Modernscapes Innovations in the amount of $52,700 for treatment plant landscape improvements, Carbon Garden. I like the title of that one. I'm going to turn that over to you, Mr. Dang.
Thank you. That Carbon Garden was made up by our engineering department. So, at the last meeting, at the request of the board, we brought the design documents to the board to share on the screen where we were planting 21 trees near the back of the treatment plant. There was a request to bring back what the actual bids are. And so between that time and now, we received the bids, and they're shown before you on page 122. We got two bids, one from Modernscapes Innovations at $52,700, and the second bid was New Image Landscaping Company at $70,000. And so today we're asking the board for approval to move forward and awarding that contract to Modernscape Innovations for the amount of $52,700.
Yes, I
Dr.
did.
Duncan.
Oops, I'm sorry. Did
no, it's all right. Hold on.
You know, this is something that I'm not supporting to the level that is recommended. My question is, if I'm remembering correctly, trying to think, when did I have that issue with my neighbor? About 3 years ago, we cut down trees. What were those? What were the
eucalyptus? Probably eucalyptus.
Where were they? And we used a firm out of on the other side of Marin. Because I ended up using them because they were so inexpensive. What trees did we cut down?
They are eucalyptus trees. Because they were falling over due to the storms.
So where were they?
Around the treatment plant, around the perimeter road.
And so, are we putting these trees back in the same place?
More concentrated in one area, as opposed to spread out, what like the original ones were.
I want to go on the record saying that whenever I disagree with us not purchasing the trees, but concentrating them so many in one area instead of not spreading the wealth throughout the plant. I just think it's when you think of, because I have so many trees, how the roots, you know, when they grow, I'm not sure the landscape guy or person took that into consideration or whoever did the design. But that could be an issue. And then what kind of trees have we decided to plant?
Those would be native trees, and I can't recall the species. I can pull it up, though, on the – it's in the drawings.
California?
I'm sorry?
Native? native trees? What are they? Okay.
So it's a combination of arbutus,
California,
arbutus trees, California sycamores, coast live oak, valley oak, Australian willow, and swan hill olive. Which I cannot speak intelligently about, just listing the names.
So, and I guess for me, it's. That we're putting 21 plants in one area on this plant. And I guess they're tolerant of the weather in that part.
They're supposed to be low maintenance trees, yes.
I wasn't thinking of the maintenance as much as of the weather on that side of the... of a plant, how cold it is, and this isn't in, near the water.
At least 50 to 100 feet away from the shoreline.
And the ones we cut down were eucalyptus because they were falling down, and we pay some money to do that.
Correct.
All right.
Dr. Simon.
Is it possible to share the plan on the screen? Do you have access to it?
We do that last time.
I was online. I could.
Well, that's right. You were online. That's right. Sorry.
And my question while you're doing that, I had a question about sea level rise and our project to protect the district. Did we confirm that these trees will not be in the way of any potential sea wall levee, anything like that to protect us?
Far enough away from the Bay Trail path, which is where the levee would potentially go if we were to build one.
Don't you hate having to type that all the way out? That's irritating.
I hate it with a passion.
Me too.
Passion.
County's trying to get accustomed to it. They have long handles.
Get to my folders. It's a waterfall,
isn't it?
It is a waterfall.
I got three emails. I'm like, oh god.
Here we go. So this is the entire length of our chlorine contact channel. From the north side all the way down to the south side. So this length is probably at least 200 feet long for the 21 trees. Correct. And we, so they're fairly, they're spread out. They're not as clustered as it may look on the screen. For scale, it's much more spread out than it would appear.
A more detailed map that shows us what kind of tree each one of those represents. I know coast live oaks
this.
Get enormous. Those are enormous trees, as are sycamores.
Yeah.
These are the trees that I just read off to the board.
No. That, so I'm asking if we have a more detailed, like I can see visuals, but I don't know what each of those different things represents. Is it a live oak? Is it a sycamore? Is it a manzanita? I don't know what it is.
The only thing we have is this drawing, and it shows off, shows up here the numbering scheme.
So I can't read that from here?
Can't either.
So.
Difficult, but I will try to go back and forth on here and get this away. For example, this is number 4 and this is number 1. So 4 is an axet tree and number 1 is it's a decomposed granite path. That is not a tree. That's this yellow path. Sorry. 4, number 2 and number 5. Number 2 being a gathering area.
Yeah, they're not names of trees. That's an issue.
Five is a shade. Well, right. So for number 5 being a shade tree, it would be one of these three combinations. So they don't specify which one of these three oaks or sycamores that they would put in here. It'd be one of the three.
We have that information before this project gets started. I think that's a pretty important piece to have. Really, live oaks get enormous.
I know they do. I have 4.
I mean, it's a wonderful tree, and I completely support live oaks. I just, any way we could get more detail on this project?
To go back to the designer and figure out what they can provide.
Thank you.
Can we move forward, though, with the recommended action to hire the company to do the work, which is what's on our agenda today?
We're hiring.
I'm sorry, we don't know who we're hiring?
No.
It's okay.
I'm sorry, do you want to go back to the drawing board? Is that what you're saying?
No. So,
well, what do you want today? I know what you just said. I'm saying, what do you want to do today? Do you want to put this off to wait on another report? Or do you want to approve the money to spend on the project while he gets that document together for us? That's all I'm asking.
Off.
Yeah, I personally don't want to approve something that I'm not clear about.
Question?
Yes, Director Simon.
Hold on this. You have bids that are out there. How long are the bids good for? Must they honor them, the contractor?
Typically, contractor will honor the bids for 90 days. The other challenge we're facing here is that we were anticipating having these improvements put in before the sunset tour, which is in September. So the only risk here is that we don't get these put in before the sunset tour.
Okay, and when did the 90 days start?
Last.
Okay. So you'll give the board detail on which trees are which, and the bid includes costs for the granite trail.
I believe so.
You could define that too. Exactly what's in the scope.
Is the guy an arborist? Is that the right word?
Arborist is the correct word, yes.
They co-mingle those trees? I'm just wondering, because I have 3 or 4 oaks and they're nowhere near my eucalyptus. Because the soil and all of that stuff is so different.
By the time these trees get big enough to match your trees, we'll all be dead and gone.
Right.
For yourself.
Well, I don't know how long it takes those trees to grow, but they're going in as plants. They're not going in as full-grown trees.
Right. So that's, so I understand wanting to get this started before the sunset tour, but I think it's more important to know what we're going to get.
We're buying.
I'd like to know what we're going to get and the placement of the trees and, like you said, how they interact with one another and stuff like that. And I'm sure certified arborists know all that, but I think it's important for us to know too.
So just to be clear, the board would like to know exactly what type of trees in each one of these locations, correct? For example, if we're calling out the shade tree between the two oaks and the sycamore, you want to know if it's a sycamore or one of the oaks.
Yeah, I'd like to see the trees all labeled, all of them. And we'd like to know what the bid includes. Does it include the walkways? Are there benches involved?
No benches.
So it's just a walkway and trees. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
We're going to rent the seating for the sun.
Yes, so we have.
When we, nothing. I'll leave it alone. I mean, why wouldn't we invest in benches?
Because this is a pilot sunset tour that we communicated to the board. And until we know the success of this event, we didn't want to invest in permanent furniture until we went through at least this first year.
And I guess I wasn't thinking of the seating just for the sunset. I was thinking it for the community. I mean, if they want to sit and have lunch under a tree.
These are behind us.
This is inside our fence line.
But the staff could enjoy it. The staff could go sit out. I've mentioned this before.
One other question.
Go ahead. I seem to have lost control, so go ahead.
Thank you. The existing shrubs that are along the fence line, what are those shrubs and will they be trimmed, cut? Do they interfere with the sunset tour, those existing bushes, shrubs?
So they've been trimmed already so that you can see through. The main view is going to be through this double gate right here. So the shrubs have been trimmed back so that this area was the intent for the event itself so that you can view out from this angle.
Okay. Hey.
Can I go?
Well, who are you asking her? Are you asking me? Well, I'm the president. So if you want to speak, it would be helpful if all of you would at least look in my direction. So if you'd like to speak, please go ahead.
Well, we both started speaking at the same time, so that's why I was...
I know, that's the problem. Everybody starts talking at the same time. So Director Dean, please go ahead.
I'd like to know more about when these sycamore trees were cut down and if we have any intent on replacing those trees.
So the eucalyptus that were cut down, we did not have intent replacing them because they were in safety issue.
Talking about replacing them with eucalyptus trees. I'm talking about replacing them with trees because I'd like to see us be more carbon neutral.
But we don't have any...
Where I go with this, I'm about climate change and shoreline adaptation and...
Yeah, we currently don't have any plans to replace those trees.
Okay, and is a public agency required... I know, is a public agency required to replace trees when they remove them? Okay, so I want to ask the question and I want an answer.
Not to my knowledge. I did do some research and I sent the email to the board related to what codes are out there. As long as we're not in the public right-of-way, we don't have any obligation to replace trees that we take down.
Right, so I sent you stuff about the public right-of-way and the parking lot trees and all that. So the eucalyptus were not in the public right of way. See, I don't remember these trees.
They're within the perimeter.
I just needed clarity. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Duncan?
Okay, and my question was, I guess I was assuming for some reason, I don't know why, where is the path that people walk if it's not on our property?
Trail?
Right there.
Gray piece right
okay,
there.
Okay, it's right there. So... bunching all of those trees right there. All right.
Anybody else? So am I hearing then that you want to not take any action on this resolution or this motion, and we will come back with more information at what meeting?
December regular board meeting, or if I may, if I get this information in time to try to help with the other project on Sunset Tour, I want to bring it back at the board workshop next week, if I get all the information in time.
Yes, Director Simon?
Is this a board workshop, and if the board is satisfied with the information, can we take action on it at that time?
I think it's going to be an action meeting anyway, because we have something. Don't we have something else?
Solid waste ordinance.
Solid waste ordinance is going to be there too, so it'll be an action item if it's on the agenda. Anything else? Or so is staff clear on what we're doing?
Yes.
Okay, then. Then we'll move from item 7.3 to item 8. 8.1, report from CASA. Madam President, you're on.
Okay. I am the new CASA president.
Yay.
Wow. And lovely venue. It was just beautiful. It was wonderful to see some of our staff. We started, there was 423 participants in attendance. Started it off with the CSRMA meeting, had a interesting speaker. I left his card, his Gordon Graham, illustrious career as a motorcycle cop and ultimately the safety guru for the police department, California Highway Patrol, I should say. And then we had some really interesting speakers around data centers, you know, that's a hot topic. And one of the presenters, I thought his name was Victory. And I asked him, why was his name Victory? And he said, because his mom had had five girls and then he was the boy. So
she called him Victory.
Right.
Finally got a victory.
Yes. But anyway, he had this interesting, his company, Tomorrow Water, to commingle wastewater plants with data centers because of the use of the need for water and, you know, electricity, and great concept. So that was really interesting. We also, I call her Dr. Stanford because my notes, I don't have them. She talked about the need for us having a national water policy because states are doing, many of them are doing their own things, and sometimes we are not benchmarking with other states, and there should be a little bit more alignment. We had a presentation from the state committee, and at the state level, Becerra is busy identifying his staff. And
even though he hasn't been elected,
I know, but that's what occupying a lot of their his time. And although Newsom signed the $352 billion state budget, he did it. He tried to eliminate any deficit. But he really impacted a lot of the social programs. And then I learned that the our federal legislation, Congress introduced 1,800 bills. They're called the lame duck Congress, worst ever on the planet. They only passed 109. I don't know what they were doing. But the other thing that was really interesting, we had someone, I think it was a Water Alliance, talking about Water Week and also a day without water. And I recommend that we should, you know, for people to really value us, we should have a day without flush. And that will bring some attention to how wonderful and how needy we are as wastewater industries, not how needy, how valuable we are. And That's about all. What about you?
Well, you covered most of it. Thank mm-hmm. you very much. Oh,
Director Dean, it's yes. You're on.
Yes. So I really loved Gordon Graham's presentation. For me, between that and the legal stuff at the very end, and when you got sworn in, those were like the highlights for me. But I really felt like Gordon's presentation, it really kept us engaged. It was funny, but yet it was so informative. And I really got a lot out of listening to different kinds of things, the five different things that affect risk for agencies. So that was really very cool. I also really liked the learning about how we could integrate wastewater treatment plants with data centers. I thought that was a really interesting concept, as well as the whole thing about AI and the using AI and usefulness of AI versus overuse of AI, and how legal precedents have been set by mistakes made in AI, which kind of blew me out of the water learning about that. So it really gives pause and concern for use of AI if, mm-hmm. you know, things aren't right and they're getting written into the legal record. That's kind of crazy. I loved learning more about the Anageria project, and I like the idea of a different way to look at organics and capturing the carbon and making it help us at our plant and stuff like that. So that was really excellent. And then, of course, hanging around with our partners from Castro Valley Sand and getting to spend time with my colleagues was incredible. So thanks a million, you guys. It was a really good conference, and I appreciated being there.
Great. Congratulations again to you. Director Lee, you weren't there, but you wanted to make a comment?
Oh, I was going to ask a question because, you know, and congratulations ascending the role to CASA president. I think the most the question that I have, particularly from CASA, right, is were there any discussions mm-hmm. on the core of legislative priorities for the next year?
No, they didn't. They talked about the some of the bills that was waiting. You know, they're in that waiting mode. A lot of the legislators are on vacation. To me, the biggest thing that was shared was the number of bills that were introduced at the federal level and how few was passed, and how it just doesn't look like our government is working. and it's just, you know, there was a little controversy around what was that bill, the tribal bill around the, it's a freedom bill around the tribes want a bill so that they can have final say on the ocean water and whatever land, if it's on a sacred land, they want to be able to have final say around whether developers. Yeah. And that was kind of contentious for the participants. That was, to me, the only bill that I'm like, oh, wow, you know, and that the individual who was introducing the bill said that there's no compromise. So I don't know where that's going to end. But we will, at our retreat, September, come back, share it with you for our forum meeting in DC. Okay, but no, we did not. We did not talk about any of our priorities, even at our board meeting. We didn't. Did you remember any of the other bills that? The state. Yeah.
Thank you for that.
So I have one question. There's Gordon Grant, was that his name, who spoke. CASA in the past has recorded some of those presentations and then allowed them to be heard after the fact. Do you know if that's possible on his report?
But that was CSRM.
Well, whoever did it, okay. CSRMA.
Jimmy, you're on the board. Was there any conversation?
No.
What was interesting is that he took up the whole 4 hours.
Wow.
And you
must have been good.
But you know him. I mean, Larry brought him here.
Larry.
What's all of him? Yeah. He's Gordon, come here to speak.
Yeah. He's only spoken to staff at safety meetings, not to the board.
Well, I don't mean, I didn't, I know it wasn't to the board, but he came to this plant. And well, I don't know.
I wouldn't know that. Yeah.
Well, I wasn't on the board during that time, so maybe you were.
No, it's not something I would know if they went to speak with staff. Not something the board would have been involved in. But anyway, well, it's always nice to check. Maybe you could check with CSRMA if he was recorded and if it's possible to access it.
Didn't have any handouts either.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Oh, it was?
Oh, right.
They ran out.
Yeah. Mine is pretty marked up.
Oh, I do have his YouTube stuff. I'll
share
that with
you. Maybe just give me a link.
Yeah, I will. Well, perfect. I took a, he wrote it down for
That'd
me.
That'd be great.
I'll share that because I had to leave to go to a board meeting and that is.
Okay. Thank you. All right, then we'll move on to item 9, policy review. We have one review tonight, the record keeping for district vehicles. Mr. Dang.
Yes, so this is a procedure on what to do when we purchase a new vehicle, including registration, any safety equipment that needs to get installed. This procedure has been in place for a long time. The only updates today are to change the titles of responsibilities. The responsibilities stay the same for the individuals. It's just that their titles have changed over time, so we updated the titles.
Questions? Comments? I don't think there are any, so I don't. Do you need a motion to approve? I would entertain a motion to approve the changes.
Director V, so moved.
I need a second from somebody.
I think she had a question.
Oh, do you have a question? I didn't see her.
Well, yeah. Just in light of all the stuff that we just learned, risk management stuff, I'm wondering, is this whole policy up to date with all the new risk management stuff that's in place, risk managers? I don't know, I'm not an expert in this, but that just all the stuff that Gordon was talking about just really kind of made me really realize how important risk and managing our risk is. So I just want to make sure we're totally up to date with the latest and whatever to do and make sure all of our policies are written that way. So
if I recall, the conversation that Gordon had was the example he brought forward was the vehicle that was unsafe because of the potential explosions. Those are documented incidents that he looked into and then made suggestions to retrofit those vehicles and so forth. To our knowledge, the vehicles you've been purchasing or are purchasing do not have history of those incidents. So if we did, or if we were aware of them, we would probably not consider buying those types of vehicles. We only buy new vehicles, correct?
So that's not what I meant at all. I just meant that if there's any language or anything that needs to be looked at with the things that I learned about in risk management, it has nothing to do with those, whatever those Crown Vicks or whatever the heck they were. And I'm sure you guys know, and I don't, because this is not my area of expertise.
So are you satisfied with the answer? Okay.
Thank you.
All right, then. So I have a motion. I need a second. You'll need a second.
I'll second, Director Duncan.
Thank you, Director Duncan. I have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Motion carries 5 ayes. Thank you very much. Move to item 10, staff and director comments. Director, before we move to staff, I have a brief report that I would like to give. The Stop Waste meeting was held on 7/22, and because Rita was out of town, I attended the meeting on her behalf, And I didn't properly advertise that to staff, so it didn't get on our agenda. But according to our agenda, I may make a report, a brief report under comments from the board. So I'm going to make my comments now for a stop waste report. So I attended the board meeting on 7/22 on behalf of Director Duncan. The agenda was relatively small and consisted mainly of a report on the energy group, of which sanitary districts are not members. However, it was first, and I listened without commenting. The balance of the meeting was focused on the legislative agenda, just for your information, of the state legislature and the propositions proposed for 26. It was noted that August 31st is the last day to pass potential legislation, so it all hasn't passed yet. And the governor will then review and reports will be prepared on his actions prior to September 30th. Director Duncan previously reported on AB 660 regarding the use by dates on projects, products, and the monthly topic brief from the agency covers that information as well. A new bill, Senate Bill 1025, would establish the Office of Food Security and Affordability as an independent state entity to strengthen California's efforts to combat food insecurity. If approved, it would coordinate statewide food assistance programs, including CalFresh, and collaborate with other state agencies, and would operate until its repeal in January of 2037. I don't know why they put that date in there, but obviously it is supported by a plethora of health and public centers working to support food security. The agency recommends support and there is no opposition. And the only other thing they talked about somewhat was a new AB 904 regarding carpet recycling, attempting to establish locations for accepting carpets for recycling, much of which ends up in landfill. I have a list of the bills they took action on at the previous meeting. If you're interested in those topics, which relate to, in most part, to just to recycling. That's the end of my report. I will give this report to Patricia for the minutes. And that is the name of that tune. Now, Mr. Dang, General Manager, report.
No comments.
No comments. Alex, you've been so quiet. Well, be that you'd talk today. anybody else on staff have any comments? Nice to have you here as well. Thank you, Director Simon.
Thank you, staff.
All right, Director Dean. I was looking at Duncan, sorry.
I know. Thanks, everybody. No comment.
Duncan. I won't call you President Duncan, so
it's okay.
Still Director Duncan, Secretary.
Oh, I know. Alex, did your replacement person give us a good report?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'd like to have been a fly on the wall.
You better not tell him how we acted. No. Thank you, staff, for all that you do. And you as well, Jimmy, leading us. And thank you for hosting us so beautifully in Napa. Thank you. Both of the meals were great. So thank you.
Well, thank you for the meeting, and thank you for all the topics and items. I think we did get a number of things accomplished. And of course, PFMAM, I'm glad that they are they're managing our money for us. Thank you.
Likewise for me, it was a good meeting. Thank you very much. It was great to hear the report from both Director Dean and Duncan. And congratulations again to you. We expect big things out of you over the next year. Somewhat. That did not require a response.
No pressure.
Thank you very much. And this meeting is adjourned. Now you can say it.
I was going to say, should I send these the YouTube stuff to Patricia
yes.
so she can send it to all of us?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
That was
why
it.
Not?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. God, life.
All righty then.
Well, look at us. We're getting out of here.
Did she hit that gavel? Did she hit it?
I did hit the gavel.
You did? How did I miss that?
Yeah.
Hit it again. Okay.
I hit it real hard at the end of our meeting, didn't I?
You did.
I said.
She sent reverberations throughout the room.
It is officially over. All righty.
Okay, I'll see you guys next week, huh?
We'll see you next week.
Well, I'll see.
Yeah. We have finance meeting the week after, right? But then, you know, the Friday after, right before our PSDA.
Giving out checks.
I your, did see your email, mm-hmm. and I put it on my calendar.
Oh, good. I hope you come.
You get to see Liliana at the Living Color.
Well, you should always run past that because I have a mind that that's how it thinks.
You know that solved it. That right there solved it.
Right on, right on. I'm glad I could help.
Sure did.
Ooh. Oh, my knee. Oh
no.
Oh my god.
You did
it,
daughter.
Oh yeah. Thank you.
And the HOA is
I didn't want it sitting for the porch pirates.
No, I don't. It's only taken me 2 years to know your name is Director Dean.
Sorry.
It's so hard. Dean and Duncan and Dan.
I know what
Duncan Dean and it should be a law firm. Duncan Dean and Day.
All right, sounds good.